When you haven't found love, it can feel like everyone else has. It's in every movie, every song, and all the PDA. Looking for love sucks. Thankfully, California Psychics can give you the guidance you need to find the one. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Boomer and Geo.
BT and Sal.
Kevin and Tiki.
Keith McPherson, your nighttime host on The Fan.
On The Fan.
On The Fan.
On The Fan.
It's WFAN Daily, hosted by Pete Hoffman.
Yes, it is I, Pete Hoffman, with WFAN Daily. It is a late night Saturday night, or Sunday night, excuse me, or early Monday morning, depending on when you're listening to this. Thank you for joining myself, I, Pete Hoffman, as the two New York teams on Sunday both win, successful Mets, Yankees. It was a good day for both teams, but there was a big issue earlier this weekend on Saturday morning. News broke that Aaron Judge is going to head to the IL. He's got the flexor strain, which is going to be hopefully only a 10-day IL stint. But let's be honest here. This is an issue that if it's not fixed properly, can lead to a UCL tear, which can lead to Tommy John. So this is something that has to be taken serious, and it may linger more than the 10-day IL. This is something that last Tuesday in Toronto, I pointed out saying, I don't know what the hell it is. Something seems weird, but he's, you know, wincing, squeezing his hand, doesn't seem right. Why it took 4 days for the Yankees to whether talk to Judge or do some testing or whatever the case is, it's outrageous. And you heard Aaron Boone's comments on Saturday after the game, after Saturday's loss to the Phillies, where when they finally found out what the diagnosis was, and they said he could have played Saturday, but again, there was a note that basically Aaron Judge was not going to really throw hard. It was going to be lollipop throws from the outfield. He wasn't looking to gun anybody out. So you're just going to give up more and more runs. And that's what Friday night was. Again, it wasn't, you know, the games were out of hand Friday and Saturday. So it really wasn't a question of, oh, would Aaron Judge have prevented a big play? Would Aaron Judge have prevented a big throw? Would he gotten that and somebody out at second base? There was never a situation for that. But the point is, you're playing the injured guy. That's the best player on your team. That's the guy that carries your team. I went on air Saturday morning on my normal overnight shift Saturday mornings between 2 and 5. And I basically said the Yankees are in this weird spot because they have to buy and they have to sit their young kids. They have to send them down because this team is still a World Series contending team. And it's weird to say that because they're so defensively handicapped at the moment. Obviously, with Ron McMahon coming in, you've seen the change already. But Friday, they, you know, even Paul Goldschmidt got into the awful throws and throwing the ball away, and it just looked awful. The defense has been lackluster, has been terrible. And again, on top of that, you smother that with the fact that you send someone out to right field who can't make a throw if needed. That's dumb, idiotic planning, to say the least. You got Jason Dominguez in left field who can't play a lick of left field. You got Anthony Volpe who's still struggling at shortstop. This whole team is just not put together well. Now, in that same light, though, I still think that with a healthy Aaron Judge, this team is destined to get deep into the playoffs because he's that good. That's the rub here. So what do? You buy? Do you sell? If Aaron Judge is done this season, if Aaron Judge is out, the Yankees have no choice but to sell because you are sitting there with older players like a Paul Goldschmidt, like a Cody Bellinger, like, you know, I know Ryan McMahon just got here, so we're not looking to sell him, but a Trent Grisham who's not here for the long run, those guys, they can get you pieces back. And you can do what you did years ago when you had to offload a ton of older talent and bring back other pieces. Devin Williams will give you some extra pieces. So if Aaron Judge, if this thing lingers longer than the 10-day IL, which it's a bad timing for in general. It's never good when your star player, the guy that you rely upon the most, is hurt. But when he is going to be out for at least 10 days and the trade deadline is here, it gives you this false sense of reality of who are the Yankees. We have no idea. You could say, well, we're not going to be that good for the next 10 games because our best player is not here. So we still want to be active. We still want to be a team that's contending because really, when are you ever going to tell the Yankee fan base, hey, we're not going to contend. This is the year that we're going to sell. It's not going to happen. You're going to make a run for it. That's what Cashman and Steinbrenner are going to do because they can't tell the fan base, this is not going to work out this year. I know that we're not that far away. We're still in the playoff mix. We're still in the playoffs. We're in the wild card right now. But this team's not going for it. You can't tell the fan base that. So instead, what you do is you go and buy. And you're going to buy pieces that are going to be insignificant. And really, it's just a catch-22 what the Yankees are going to do. And all because of Aaron Judge's injury. Again, if he was healthy, I'd say the step was in the right direction. The Ryan McMahon was actually a good, solid move. The Ahmad Rosario was even good. Think about this. You get to play him, and I know some people say, well, he hasn't played shortstop in forever. He came up as a shortstop. I don't think he's forgotten how to play the position. Plus, the fact is that you don't need him there to be the shortstop of the future. You need him there to be the shortstop of the right now so you can give Volpe a freaking break. Because this is the same cycle over and over and over. You are turning insane if you think that Anthony Volpe and Jason Dominguez being run out every day in those two left field and shortstop positions is healthy for the team. It's not. And a great point was made earlier yesterday was, what's the point? Why don't you just move Dominguez to his stronger position, center field? And I've said this for the longest time. Dominguez going to center field is never going to be as good as Trent Grisham or Cody Bellinger. You putting Dominguez there is better for Dominguez, but he's still an issue defensively. He's a liability. When you had a healthy Aaron Judge, the last thing you want to do is put a healthy Aaron Judge out there and a liability at center field and have Judge now have to, play more of this field. That's the reason why he's a corner position. You cut down the field to make it smaller for Jason Dominguez, to make the game smaller. He's got less room to cover. You give the center fielder more room, more area to field. You kind of give that relief to Judge, right? You have Cody Bellinger and Trent Grisham out there at center field. You give Aaron Judge more comfort to say, I don't have to go full throttle. I don't have to make my way to center field because I have two good players out there, whether it's Grisham or Bellinger, and they'll make the play. And I don't have to go. I just have to worry about my zone. That's it. Dominguez, I'm sorry. He's not it right now defensively, and neither is Volpe. And both of them, like I said on Saturday morning, they don't hit enough for them to be run out there every single day. So the fact that Ryan McMahon's there at third base now and Ahmad Rosario is around, that he can play the field, he can play shortstop, this is going to be a luxury for the Yankees because you don't have to run those young kids out there. You can make them earn the job back because that should be the goal. Earn the freaking job. Don't just be handed it. I'm sorry. I know that Dominguez is 22, Volpe's 24, but they're just not it. That being said, again, trade deadline, focus. What are we doing? If the Yankees are smart, it's just time to just sell. It is. But they're never going to do it. And that's the tough thing. It's a tough pill to swallow. This team is not good enough. This team, I mean, listen, they won a game on Sunday, which was good to fight back. Carlos Rodon gave him two early home runs, and you felt like, oh, boy, here we go. The Phillies are just going to wipe the floor again with the Yankees. But they were able, Rodon was able to settle down. The bullpen was able to pick him up. Ryan McMahon's defense was pretty good. And besides the three solo home runs, the Yankees were able to prevent anything else from happening, and they win a 4-3 game. And it was good, but the games before that were just lackluster. Again, you know, it's been a whirlwind, and now you have your best player hurt on top of that. Why not try to restart and reset? You know, why not try to restart? You could bring up Spencer Jones and try that experiment. If you want now Volpe and Dominguez to play, so be it. You know, but that's the choice. It's either you got to win now or you just play the young kids and restock the prospects. It can't be both. You can't do this half-assed like, well, listen, I think we could still be competitive and, you know, play the young kids. It's not working. It hasn't worked. And it's going to kill you in the long run come playoff time. It just really is. And they still need more bullpen help for sure. You know, the Ryan McMahon trade was good defensively. Offensively, we'll see in the long run if he fits this Yankee Stadium, this short porch. But the bullpen, they need help with. And again, pitching, starting pitching, it's going to be another thing too. And with Judge being potentially out, here's the other thing too, right? When Judge does come back, is he really going to go play the outfield? Like, that was the thing that Aaron Boone was talking about, was like, he hopefully can play the outfield when he returns, but that might not be the case. He may have to DH, and that will help, you know, ease him back into the process of playing by DHing rather than going straight to the field. But now if that's the case, is what are you doing with Giancarlo Stanton? Is Stanton going to the right field? Now, I love Giancarlo Stanton, but on Sunday's game, he hit a rocket shot that got past center fielder. The right fielder came by and made a nice, quick play, but he should have been on second base, and he barely was rounding first. So we know he's just not that guy anymore. He's not going to be able to play the field properly. He doesn't run the bases fast enough. He is a unfortunate. He is a liability, to say the least, when he's running the base pass and he's on the field. But you can't have two DHs. The only other option is Aaron Judge at first base. And that's something that they're going to have to consider. That's the reality. And maybe Paul Goldschmidt teaches Aaron Judge how to play the position. Maybe that's what Paul Goldschmidt can do for the next 2 months here, because Paul Goldschmidt offensively is not doing it anymore. He's a singles hitter. You talked about DJ LeMahieu. He wasn't doing it. He was a singles hitter. Well, that's what Paul Goldschmidt is. Paul Goldschmidt at best is a singles hitter. Okay. If you go for the last 2 months of the season, guy's batting 200. He is not an addition. He's not the MVP player anymore. And then if you add that with his defensive liability the other day, which is not saying he's always like that, but the other day was pretty bad. You have a hole. So why not try to put Judge at first, Bellinger at right, Grisham center, get a new left fielder. Mickey Moniak, not for nothing, is sitting in Colorado. He's not all that great, but he's got 15 or 16 home runs this season. He's batting about 270. He's that like Andrew Benintendi, the guy that everybody loved. He's that type of player right now. He's 27 years old. He finally got into a groove. I know he's in Colorado. They should have thought about that when they were making the trade for McMahon, but you could still always go back to the well, whatever. Ryan McMahon worked. Everyone's happy. Let's see if maybe Mickey Moniak. I think he's only got one more year left to his deal. It's nothing too crazy. Bring him in, but get somebody else to play left field consistently. That's what you need. That's what the Yankees can use to succeed defensively. Strong, be a strong, strengthful defense. Plus, the hitting. Listen, we know that the Yankees can put the ball in the seats. It's not a shocker. The Yankees are this team. They're all or nothing. It's all home runs or bust, and that's what they do. You know that. You accept that. I mean, Volpe. That's what he does. He's a home run hitter. Jazz home run hitter. Everybody that puts the pinstripes on, they're just looking to put it at the seats. So you have to try to weigh it out. If we're going to be in tight games, you need great pitching and great defense. And the days that your offense explodes, good. But at least keep you in a game to get that solo home run in the eighth or ninth inning that will give you the lead. In order to have that, though, you have to be able to play these tight games, and better defense and better pitching is going to start there. Real quick to the Mets, great series for them. They're now 7 straight wins for the New York Mets. They are hotter than ever. They're a game and a half in front of the Phillies. Thank you to the Yankees, by the way, for doing that. That was very nice of them. You know, it also helped them out that the Blue Jays lost. So the Yankees got a little help from the Blue Jays losing. The Mets got some help from the Yankees winning because they beat the Phillies. So it was a good day for both New York teams. But that being said, Mets, it was a interesting series in San Francisco. Juan Soto with the key home run that gave the New York Mets the go-ahead and basically the winning home run. But Ronnie Mauricio, 4-for-4. You talk about the guys on the New York Mets that are untradeable right now or who needs to be traded. It's basically Mauricio, Beatty, and Vientos. There's 3 guys right there, and I think you have to make a choice that because everyone still says bring in a bat, bring in a bat, bring in a bat. I think you make a choice between those 3. And I've been saying it for a while. Mauricio is the one guy that I trust the most, that I think that's going to have the better career. I personally speaking want Vientos here, but I understand now that he's maybe more linked to trade rumors. I'd personally speaking be giving up Beatty before Vientos because we've seen what Vientos can do. You know, we've seen Vientos have that all-star year. Even though last year he wasn't an all-star, he had a full year under his belt, and in the playoffs, he performed great. Don't you want that? Don't you want to see if he can mimic that again this year in the playoffs? Beatty, we've seen a guy who's gone up and down, up and down, up and down. Going into today, he had 9 hits in the last 8 days. That's good. But then he goes on these like streaks where he's 0-for-20, you know, that he's just lifeless. Defense, he's gotten a lot better. That's good. But I don't know if I could trust that. If I had to take a stock and buy into it, I'm buying into Ronnie Mauricio. I'm lightly going into Vientos, and I'm selling Brett Beatty as high as possible. And he may not be high right now. He's batting .235, 11 home runs, you know, but his defense has been picking up. I'd sell Brett Beatty right now. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm going for. If you're going to get a significant piece. Now, what type of significant piece is it? I'm still looking for a starting pitcher. That's what I want because I think that you move Clay Holmes to the bullpen eventually, and that is how you're going to solidify this rotation and this bullpen. Clay Holmes is basically a 5 innings pitcher, if that. You know, right now he's fought hard to get the 5 innings, and he's probably going to get tired. He's probably more tired than he's ever been. So we're talking about a guy who's getting to the 5th inning but barely scraping by to the 5th inning or getting 5 innings in. He might turn into a 4 inning pitcher or 3.5 inning pitcher, 3 1/3 inning pitcher. So the Mets have to start to think ahead of what he's going to turn into. He's already pitched way more innings than he ever has in his life. It's time to move him to the bullpen. That's what you do. And this is not a knock to Clay Holmes. He had a good season. He's a great back of the end rotation guy. That's basically for an experiment. It worked out. You won the experiment. But now think about the prize. The prize is the World Series. Who's giving you real innings come playoffs? It's not Clay Holmes. It's not Frankie Montas. I don't really know besides Manaea, Peterson, and Senga if there's anybody else on the roster that you really are going to believe in to pitch real innings come playoff time, unless you're going to call up a young kid in Jonah Tong or Nolan McLean and actually give them a shot and see if they could pitch in the big leagues. But still, don't you want to have that as like the backup plan? Like, I don't want to say a backup plan, but you want to have that in your pocket. Like, hey, we do have these young studs that are here that we can call up at any time and they could work out here. Don't you want to have like be like more prepared in case of an emergency, in case one of those other guys go down, that then you can go there. I feel like a top-end rotation guy is the way to go, because that's who you're going to see. If they make a trade for a top-end starting rotation guy, you're talking about somebody who's going to see real time come the playoffs. It's just a fact. I don't know if you're really going to see much of Frankie Montas. You know, maybe he comes out of the bullpen. But there is too many question marks right now in the bullpen. Besides Edwin Diaz, who's been getting hit a little hard lately. He's had a little bit rough time of it. And I know that Gregory Soto looked good in his start. Brooks Raley's been looking good. We go down the laundry list of guys that have been looking good. But who's going to be significant? Who's making those big innings? Who's making those big pitches in the big-time situations? Who is Carlos Mendoza calling on? And I'll tell you right now, it better not be some of these like Rico Garcias of the world. I do not need to see Rico Garcia come out in a playoff game. That's not acceptable. You have 4 days left to the trade deadline. Bring in some good talent, and it starts with getting a starting pitcher. If you get a bat, so be it. I'd like to get a bat, but I don't think that's going to be on the top of the list for David Stearns. All right, we'll get more into the trade deadline stuff as it's every day. We're getting closer to it, and on Thursday, July 31st, 6 p.m., we will know who's selling, who's buying. Are the Yankees going to buy? Again, like I said, if they're smart and this Aaron Judge injury is going to be a significant one, this season is a wash and they might as well sell as much as they possibly can and regroup for next year. I don't know if they can afford that, but that should be their MO. Again, thank you for listening to another episode of WFN Daily with Pete Hoffman. I'll be back tomorrow with more. And as always, at any point in time, you can turn on the Odyssey app, turn on the radio, 660 AM, 101.9 FM. But the Odyssey app's got everything, whether you want to listen to Boomer and Geo. BT and Sal are back full together on Monday morning, which is fantastic. They both had their weeks off, and now they're back, both of them tag team. So I'm sure that they're going to have something interesting to say about Aaron Judge and the trade deadline. Then you got Evan and Tiki. You got Keith McPherson. You got Chris McMonagle. You got all the guys and gals too. We have tons of we have women on the station as well. Daniel McCartan's out there. Lori Rubin's in out there. Shout out. And then as always, if you miss anything at all, go to the Odyssey app and download the podcasts. That's where you get WFAN Daily. That's where you get Rico Bronya. That's where you get all the podcasts at all that you're looking for. One Giant Step, Sean Marash, Unkillable, Brandon Tierney. So go do that. And again, follow me at Hoff WFAN on all social media platforms. Again, I appreciate you listening, and I will see you guys again tomorrow. Good luck. Also, something that was really cool, you go check it out on YouTube or where you get WFAN Daily, where you get your podcasts. I had an opportunity with Anthony Gallo to interview Jason Levy, who, by the way, if you guys are horror movie fans, produced the Terrifier series. They're looking to produce the new Terrifier, Terrifier 4. It's another movie that they're putting up and they're working on. But it's an amazing horror movie. It started out small and now it's huge. And we had a great conversation, a little bit about football, as he's a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan and a Mets fan. And then we got into the movies and stuff like that too. So if you're a horror movie fan at all, you definitely want to check that out. Jason Levy on WFAN Daily. But again, thank you again for listening. And I will see you guys tomorrow, mañana. Have a good one. Peace.